Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. There used to be a popular television show called Undercover Boss. Don't know if you ever watched it. The show used hidden identities to create funny or uncomfortable or heartwarming moments. If you're not familiar with the show, the basic premise is this. Some chief executive, maybe the owner of a major corporation, leaves the corporate headquarters to work for a week at an entry-level position in his own company, in her own company. Disguised as an average Joe, the boss spends the work week interacting with other entry-level employees or managers, interacting with customers, getting a taste of what it's like working for the company instead of running it. Now, the goal for the executive is usually that he or she wants to be a better boss, wants to cultivate a healthier working environment by experiencing life in the trenches. And as the camera follows around the undercover boss, the audience gets to see how he or she is treated. In on the secret, the audience gets to see how people who think that he or she is just an average new hire gets treated. Sometimes the boss is treated kindly. Other times, the boss faces hazing, maybe even a little bit of harassment. And then at the end of the week, at the end of the show, the boss calls all the workers into the corporate headquarters and reveals the true identity. And oftentimes there's promotions, maybe bonuses or other rewards for the workers who proved themselves to be good employees. And for those who treated the boss poorly on the job, well, the result is usually some sort of extra training courses, not to mention the public shame and embarrassment of having a nationwide audience watch you make a fool of yourself to your boss. But the whole show is built on the old cliche, don't judge a book by its cover. You can't always tell who someone is simply by looking at them. And yet, for as much of a cliche as that is, for as much as we know this to be true, we also continually fail to do it. We're continually tempted to focus on outward experience, not just when it comes to social status, or where a person might fall in the corporate hierarchy. No, we even act as if we can somehow evaluate our spiritual health or our standing before God, simply based on outward appearances. But that often leads us to tragic cases of mistaken identity. Take the words of Jesus we heard just a few moments ago. There was a rich man, one who had the best that this life has to offer. He lived in luxury, wearing the finest clothes, driving the finest cars, drinking the finest wine, eating the finest food. This man lacked for nothing. All his desires met at a moment's notice. He had the best this life had to offer, and when this life was over, where does he find himself? Torment. He had nothing in the life to come except the agonizing desire to have his torment relieved by a single drop of water. Now, the one who was wealthy in the life to come was Lazarus, the same Lazarus who lived in the street outside this rich man's estate. He didn't have a home of his own. He had to scavenge the trash for his food. His body was cursed with illnesses. And he was so weakened by his diseases that he couldn't even stop the dogs from licking his wounds. He was too weak to shoo them away. I'm sure he stunk to high heaven. The kind of person you don't want to be in line behind at the gas station. The kind of person you don't want to sit next to on the bus. The kind of person you try to avoid at all costs. And yet he was the one who was truly wealthy. For he was the one who found himself at Abraham's side in the end. He was the one who found himself in paradise. The truth of our existence is that most people, and if we're being honest, we ought to include ourselves in this, most people, if we met these two men on the street, would consider the rich man favored by God and Lazarus somehow cursed. But Jesus has a word of warning for us. That would be a case of mistaken identity. So the question before us today, the question that Jesus asks us to wrestle with, why do we continue to place so much stock and the opinions of our world? Why do we feel such a strong temptation to bend over backward trying to win the world's approval, the world's affirmation? Just think about what else Jesus says in the Gospels. He warns us that the world will hate us, and that when it does, to remember that it hated him first. The Scriptures remind us that the things of God cannot be understood by the sinful flesh. They're spiritually discerned. The people of God, the ways of God, the things of God, they will not make sense to the fallen world. And so Jesus tells us over and over again, we will never be at home in this world. We will never quite fit in. And if we do fit in, that ought to give us pause. We are, after all, the church, the ecclesia, those who have been called out of the world and called to something different. Yes, we are still in the world, but we are not of it. And so if the world around us is patting us on the back, telling us what a great job we're doing, we ought to be suspicious. Probably ought to reevaluate what it is we're up to. Because more likely, if we cling to the word of the cross, which is folly to a dying world, then we end up like Lazarus, castaways, outsiders. Maybe not literally living in the gutter, but the type of people that the rich and powerful want to avoid. People not welcome in polite society. But take heart, for that is nothing more than a case of mistaken identity. In this world, we may be outsiders like Lazarus, but like Lazarus, we have something more than the acceptance of this world. We have been given something eternal, something that far exceeds the fleeting comforts available this side of the grave. Like Lazarus was an outcast in the world of his day, we will always, on some level, be outcasts in ours, because the word of the Lord is not welcome in the hearts and lives of sinful people. But take heart, for our identity is not found in what this world considers us to be. It is found in Christ, in who he declares us to be. Our identity is found in our baptism, in the new creation given to us through water and the word. Our identity is found in the promises of God. For the things of this world will pass away. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God's promises stands forever. And our true identity comes from that word, the word of God that speaks us righteous. Like Abraham, trust in the promises of God is credited to us as righteousness. And while it may not change our appearance or status in the eyes of an unbelieving world, it does change our identity before God. To the world, we will always look a little bit like Lazarus. The world will call us all manner of hurtful or hateful names. The world will laugh in derision, look down on us in contempt. Those who cling to the word of the Lord and live according to it will never measure up to the world's standards. The world would rather we were left outside the gates of respectable places, that they can pass us by without notice. But as we are Lazarus in the eyes of the world, so also we are Lazarus in the eyes of our Lord. Precious to him. That is our true worth, even if it's hidden from the eyes of the world. As John puts it, even though we're already God's children now, what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when Jesus appears on the last day, we'll be made like him. We shall see him as he is, and the world should see us as we are. So we take comfort that our lives follow the pattern of Jesus. That's what Jesus encourages us to in today's reading. Listen to Moses and the prophets. Listen to the word of God, for the word of God is enough to show us who we truly are. The word of God is clear. In our lives, we share the sufferings of Jesus, for in baptism, we are united to him. He is the image of God into which we are being reshaped. And so we look at the details of Jesus' life, and we see that things weren't always what they appear to the human eye. For when the word became flesh, the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He was treated as an outcast. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows. They considered him stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. Jesus suffered mockery at the hands of sinful men. He was constantly questioned and tested as if the message he brought was demonic. He was stripped and beaten and executed. But in the resurrection, his glory was revealed. That is the same glory that we participate in as the children of God, united to it every time we kneel at this altar to be united to the body and blood of our Savior. The world did not see Jesus for who he truly was. They could not. That takes the eyes of faith. So also the world does not see us for who we are in Christ, for that takes the eyes of faith. By the grace of God, we have the eyes of faith. And so we use them. Let us not be mistaken about who we are in Christ or who we are in this world. We are the children of paradise. We are the ones redeemed by God. And so we still live in this world, struggle against sin and death and the devil, but the victory has been won. So see that, believe that, trust that, cling to that, for in that promise is our hope. That is our identity as God's children. That is who we truly are. In Jesus' name, amen.